Brother Jerry, I'm not going to try to sing a song, but when you were up there testifying and giving the word, and I think this goes with us, and I just want to share with y'all a couple of songs that just popped into my mind, but there's a specific scripture that I want to share, and this is a new one for me. I'm learning it. So I would like for y'all to repeat this scripture that I'm being led to share with y'all at this moment. And it's not a part of my sermon, my lesson. So please repeat after me. I know it's in 2 Samuel, but somebody please repeat after me and say, God is our fortune. Our fortress, I'm sorry. God is our fortress and our strength. He makes our way perfect before us. Somebody say, thank you, God, for making our way perfect before us. That came up for me when you were sharing your testimony. And then I never could get the words of this song right. Blessed be, I'm not going to try to sing it. I'm just going to try to say the words. Time is filled with swift transitions. Transgressions be kind of swift sometimes too. Time is filled with swift transition. None on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold, somebody say hold, to God's unchanging hand. And the other one is, I'm still not going to sing it. I just hear him going in my head, but all I hear is pieces and parts. And I'm not going to embarrass Brandon, myself, and I'm going to act like I have some common sense, and I'm not going to sing it. But the gospel choir used to sing a song back in the day. Oh, I just hear it, and I've just got the Holy Ghost chilled. Somebody repeat after me. Makes no difference what the problem. I can go to God in prayer. He can work it out. Somebody say he can work it out. He can work it out. Say yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. I'm going to have to go find that on YouTube and just go ahead and get happy and run around the house. Makes no difference. What the problem? No matter how swift the transgressions or the transitions may be. Woo, we can go to God in prayer because our hope is built on things eternal. Somebody say things eternal. Lord, have mercy. Those of you who want to turn with me, please go with me to Hebrew 12. And I'm doing 1 and 3 this morning. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight that so easily besets us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance this race that is marked out, laid out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. the author, the pioneer, and the perfecting finisher of our faith. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This morning we're continuing, but my focus scripture is gonna be this right here. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary. Somebody say, don't grow weary and lose heart. And today we're talking about organizing and prioritizing for the kingdom. Somebody say, organizing and prioritizing for the kingdom. How are we going to organize and prioritize for the kingdom? We have to remember who we are. Do y'all remember who we are? We are spiritual beings who are one with Christ, having a human experience. Have y'all been having any human experiences lately? Have y'all been having any human experiences lately? Somebody say, I have. So when we recognize who we are and where we're working from, this helps us to get organized. And organizing means to arrange into a structured whole. That means it comes together nicely. To arrange into a structured whole, to bring forth order. It's to coordinate activities of a person, place, or thing efficiently. Somebody say efficiently. If I were to break that down in a two-word example, just say coordinate efficiently. To organize is to coordinate efficiently and to put things in their proper place as it relates to each other. Somebody say proper place. To put in order, straightening out. Somebody say to eliminate confusion. How many want some confusion eliminated in their life? That's what organizing will do. And when we prioritizing means that we are being specific to designate or treat one thing more important than another. Somebody say prioritize. It's how we determine the order for how we're going to deal with things. Are there any multitaskers in here? All the multitaskers, raise your hand. Sometimes it's difficult to decide what really has the priority, because sometimes there are multiple priorities. Family, then you have to break family down. Then you have to break family, friends down. Where do we prioritize? How do we determine the order for how we are going to rank, assign rank, or place things in order? But whenever we start preparing for the kingdom, that's where who we are comes in to strengthen us and help us. Not just who we are, but who is with us. Somebody says, who's with you? Who's with us? We've got a crowd of witness with us. Not just because, but it is for the kingdom. The kingdom. This is the first time I have ever spoken on kingdom. I've heard of it. I've heard other people teach about it, but to talk about kingdom and allow the Holy Spirit to use me to share, today is the first time. So hold to his hand. Don't let go. But if we're going to go with the basics of a kingdom is a country, a state, or a territory that's ruled by a king or a queen. England, the Netherlands. There aren't very many countries. We don't hear of kingdoms like it was, say, in the Old Testament. Kingdoms were all over the place. Very rarely do we, I mean, other than Queen Elizabeth, I can't even think of another king or queen. Can y'all? It's got to be more than her. But it's a realm associated with or regarded as being under the control of a particular person, a particular sovereignty, if you will. But for us, the everlasting realm, the realm of the kingdom, the realm of the spirit, is where God is sovereign. He has authority. And that's where Jesus rules forever. Amen. I was thinking about kingdom and asking how could I understand it better. And so we don't hear a lot. Kingdoms are referred to in the Old Testament, but we get language and understanding of the kingdom more in the New Testament than we do in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned over 80 times in the New Testament. And the kingdom is basically what Jesus' teachings were centered on. Isn't that something? Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. And other names, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, or how ways that I'm associated, we are associated with the kingdom. But I want to go back, and I can understand why we may not hear or be taught that much about the kingdom, because we live in a democracy. We vote for who we want to be rule in authority over us. See, we can't even say rule because the president doesn't rule. The governor doesn't rule. The mayor doesn't rule. But when we think in terms of kingdom from the perspective of our Father, that's sovereign rulership. And that is something that I get it. I understand why I don't really understand the concept of kingdom, because we live in a democracy. And so how do we organize and prioritize for the kingdom? I'm going to have to go back and grab part of what I shared last week, and that is awareness of the Holy Spirit and our need for discernment. In other words, we have to be aware. And I just want to run through it again and add to. Remember we talked about add to last week? We're going to add to this week. Awareness is the ability to wait and receive evidence from God. That's what we said awareness was last week. But since we are talking about organizing or having a mindset prioritizing for the kingdom, awareness also means the ability to wait and recognize and evolve. I can be transparent with you. I had to recognize that the reason I don't think of kingdom is because I don't hear kingdom very often. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I say it in prayer, but I'm not thinking kingdom, God, king, sovereign, ruler, authority. And that's because we're Americans. I mean, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but that's the only thing that makes sense to me. Now, they may clarify, and they do. But if we're living in a democracy, we're not thinking about sovereignty or kingdoms. We have a president. I wonder if people talked about the queen and kings the way we talk about our leaders. What would that look like? Y'all see the difference? It's very different. But the ability to wait on God so that we can see and understand how we are to organize and prioritize helps us to be more aware of where we're from and where we're going, no matter where we are. We are in a place where royalty, you have to really drill it into yourself almost. You see what I'm saying? That's why the receive evidence is advanced to recognize and evolve. Because I recognize it's time for me to evolve. Now, I'm not saying that just because I am unfamiliar with the kingdom thinking and my understanding of kingdom is in need of development, that doesn't mean yours is. So I would like for you all to hear that in this case, I'm talking about myself. Notice I said I and not we, because I want to be specific that this one right here is a Katie fix, a Katie recognition, a Katie evolution, so that we can learn how to organize and prioritize. And when we receive and recognize and discern God's voice, we hear God's voice from all others and everything else. Remember last week I said, don't let your humanity bully your spirituality. This is what this recognition and discernment of God's voice empowers us to do. We recognize God's voice more as we evolve and go deeper into the things of God. To evolve is to expand, to advance, to enlarge. And we learn to see that evidence. Because sometimes the bare ground is evidence. How many people have had experience with like growing seeds? Like you put the seeds in a pot or in the ground and you have to wait for them to finally show life. This is what, to me, the ability to perceive the evidence that comes from God is like. We know we've planted this seed in the ground. It's not like a tomato seed where you put the little shoot and you can watch it and see if it's drying up or is it springing up. But when you plant a seed in the ground, that is a totally different event, if you will. We have to have a different form of evidence. That evidence comes from knowing that the root has to develop and go down deep so that the plant can come up. Does that make sense to y'all? Somebody say, thank God for roots. Because it looks like nothing's happening. I'm going to say this for myself too. There have been situations, circumstances, even disappointments in my life where it looked like nothing was happening. But thanks be to God, when we start to discern, when we start to understand who our team is, and that crowd of witness that starts speaking to us from wherever, whether it's in the spirit, it could be a commercial, it could be a bumper sticker. God has a way that's mighty sweet. And he knows how to empower us, to encourage us, and let us know, baby, you got to have roots before you have a shoot. The Holy Spirit just said that. Somebody repeat after me, because I think that may be important today for somebody. We have to have roots before we have a shoot. Roots are important. They have to go deep. And awareness of the Holy Spirit and discernment is how we reorganize our minds and how we prioritize our thoughts for kingdom thinking and awareness. And I guess y'all probably figured it out by now that I'm the kind of person that is that thinks. I think that whatever happens, it starts with a thought. And that's why I am so big on identity, knowing, defining, and identifying who, what, when, where, and how. Because in order for us to be prepared for the kingdom, that's how we get started. How do you organize your mind? How do we prioritize our minds? And this is how we have to consider him who endured opposition from sinners so that we will not grow weary and lose heart on the way. I was wondering, how is this connected, Jesus? But it makes sense. When we know who Christ is, and Christ absolutely knew about where he came from, who he was. He came from the kingdom of God. Can I tell y'all a little story? I 2015-ish. And I was talking about Jesus and how he has so many names. Bread of life. I'm about tempted to run back there and get the picture off the wall, but I'm not being that spontaneous. Alpha and Omega, bread of life, compassionate one, all the names. And I remember speaking on this at Arcadia Park, United Methodist Church in Dallas. And I just had this visual image of Jesus knowing who he was through Donkey from Shrek. I told y'all I have a special imagination. And you know where Donkey is in Shrek 1, Donkey is jumping around going, choose me, pick me, pick me. You know, and Shrek was like, not the Donkey, Jesus. But because Donkey was so Donkey. And he was always saying things and doing things. But Donkey knew exactly who Donkey was. And you couldn't throw him off. And I just saw Jesus like Donkey, knowing exactly who he was, who he is, what he was going to do, and standing there saying, pick me, pick me, pick me, choose me, choose me. And people picking their fingernails and, you know, scratching their head, looking around. Y'all gonna go watch Shrek this afternoon so y'all can see that scene. Just Google it on YouTube. Yeah. But that did something for me, and it's coming to me because it helps me understand what prioritizing and organizing for the kingdom and a kingdom mindset is like. We got to constantly pick me, pick me, pick me, Jesus. It has to do with us the same as it had to do with Jesus. He knew who he was, and he knew where he came from. And the other thing was, Jesus, like Jesus was saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the bread. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. And it occurred to me, y'all remember Jesus said, I'm Son of God and Son of Man. Have y'all ever considered that all the times that Jesus was telling us, his disciples, the people who he was, that was his spirituality, telling his humanity, i.e. the Son of God, reminding and telling the Son of Man who he was. How do we keep a mindset of the kingdom? I know that I used to think of Jesus as like, well, he already knew everything. He's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. How could he get confused? But think about it. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I have to be quite honest with you. Sometimes I have to hustle to remember I am a spiritual being. When things start going sideways and we don't know which way we want to go, that, my friend, is our humanity and our spirituality standing toe-to-toe, looking at each other. That's when we do have to build our hope on things eternal. That's where the organization and the prioritizing of our mind and our identity strengthens us so that we can think along what the kingdom of God is like. It is not a country. It is not a state. We are not ruled by another person. It is truly a mindset. It is a mindset. And Philippians 2:11 tells us, let the same mind which be in Christ Jesus be also in us. Boy, can y'all imagine what it's like to have Jesus' mind? Ooh-wee. Can I tell y'all while I'm laughing? No, I would not be turning water to wine every time I turn around. But my mind works like that because the joke has to pop out. What would you do? How would you carry yourself if you had the mind of Christ? It's almost like we've been conditioned, I'm even going to say organized and prioritized, to believe we cannot. I know I've felt that way, looking in the mirror, thinking about what I've done, think about what I want to do, think about next. And it strengthens me, if you will, when I consider Jesus and his humanity and realize he had to make those decisions just like us. And so sometimes the gap between the divinity and the perfection of Christ that we've been taught and our humanity and our sinfulness, it keeps us from recognizing greater is he who is within me than he who is in the world. Somebody say, how do we prioritize and organize our minds for the kingdom? Jesus did it. I did. We do it too. Y'all want to know something else the Holy Spirit told me? We walk on water. Every time it rains, we walking on it. Okay? Spill some water in the floor. Pray you don't slip. You walking on it. See, our humanity can bully our spirituality to make us feel like what God says about us is not true. And that's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit and the great cloud of witnesses and understand who we're in partnership with. Jesus completely understands. He understands that we believe we can't do nothing. But his love and his sacrifice says, yes, we can. Somebody say, yes, we can. We can do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Which brings another question. What did Jesus think? If we're going to have the mind of Christ, if we're going to begin prioritizing and ordering and ranking our thought processes, what did and what would Jesus think? He endured the cross, scorning its shame. I'm thinking about Romans 5, where Romans says, in this we glory in tribulations, also knowing. Tribulations worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience worketh hope. And repeat after me, and hope maketh not ashamed. The cross did not shame Jesus. And I'm going to say this. We no longer have to let our crosses shame us. Somebody say, I no longer allow my cross to shame me. God has forgiven us. See, the cross is behind us. What else is behind us? Our past. But sometimes not realizing we've endured these things, we walked through them, and it occurred to me that we are still carrying some shame from our past. We don't have to. Because why? It says here in Hebrews that Jesus, he endured it. We've endured all these things, but he scorned the shame. How do we organize? How do we prioritize? Forget that past. Don't let anybody try to cause you to feel that shame from whatever it is. You know, sometimes people know the things that you have done, and they just won't let you go. They can hold something from you that you did in third, sixth, eighth, college, high school. People still are holding guilt, shame. But I'm here to encourage you and ask you this question this morning. How does a king's kid think, act, and believe? If we are going to prioritize and organize for the kingdom, it starts with the thought, right? We're king's kids. We are children of the Most High God. I know people think I'm crazy and probably call me a heretic, and I probably would have got burnt at a cross with some of the things I say. But I no longer identify as a sinner saved by grace. I am a child of the Most High God. Jesus hung for my sin. If he paid it all, why am I still saying I am a sinner? How do you say I'm a sinner saved? How do you say I'm a sinner? I'm going to tell you how. Because we have not organized and prioritized for the kingdom. Jesus, y'all watch this. Uh-oh. Watch this. Jesus never called a person, himself or anyone, a sinner in Scripture. Think about it. Woman with the issue of blood, daughter, she was all out of place. Everybody who Jesus touched, he changed their name. Mary Magdalene, I don't know what other people was calling her, but he didn't call her, yo, possessed girl, be healed. Nah, Mary, Peter, no longer do I call you Peter. No longer do I call you Simon. I call you Peter. I am Son of God and Son of Man. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Huh? Can anything good come out of Seneca? Can anything good come out of Pendleton? Can anything good come out of Canada? out of Bishopville, out of wherever, out of Aikenville? Who are you? Who are we? How we gonna be king's kids and sinners too? Organize and prioritize, because I believe they say life and death is in the power of the tongue. If we are what we eat, who are we and what are we eating? Somebody holler at me. Praise your name, God. Somebody say no more bullying. No more bullying. No more guilt. No more shame. I love the Holy Spirit. No more. Because Jesus never did say I ain't. The closest we get is where he was in the garden praying, because he knew what was ahead of him. And he still said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Somebody say, where you from? Where are you from? Baby, organize and prioritize. Because you know why? You can't have, Jesus didn't have any shame. Why we have it? Jesus didn't call himself a sinner. Why we calling ourselves something Jesus never said or God said we were? I am being brazen. But God says, you are my people. Did he not say we are his children? Everybody a little cuckoo every now and then. Honestly, I remember earlier this year we were talking about the five wise virgins and the five foolish. Whether we have been wise and whether we have been foolish, God has always been kind. And let's be honest about it. I don't know about y'all, but I like the New Testament God. He didn't turn people to stone, salt, condiments. He didn't just kill you for touching stuff, trying to save the Ark of the Covenant. Because why? Jesus came so that we would have a new identity. Somebody say kingdom. I mean, I'm not separate. I'm not dualistic either. You know, I like the Old Testament, but the New Testament. No, it all goes together. But at some time, some kind of way, you need to prioritize. I prioritize like this. David said in Psalms 51, in sin, my mother conceived me. Jesus said, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am his son. I am his daughter. I'm going to keep thinking, David didn't die for me. Cool what you did with the giant's head and all, but come on. Dude was human. Jesus is human and divine. And I really believe they want us to prioritize and organize this. Come on, holler back at me. We are spiritual beings who are one with Christ, having a human experience. Go ahead and tell yourself, I am the bread of life. Jesus did. What you gonna say? I'm wounded, I'm broken, I'm hurt. How you gonna be gracefully broken? when the blood was shed for you. Ooh, help me, Holy Spirit. How are we going to be King's kids walking around with shame and guilt, knowing that royal blood was shed for us? We have been grafted in, they said, didn't they? Are we or are we not heirs and joint heirs with Jesus? So what we gonna do? Come on. No more bullying. I don't know about y'all, but no more bullying. I'm about tied. T-I-E-D. Tied, Lord. I'm tied, tired, and tired of my humanity bullying my spirituality, trying to make me think I'm not a king's kid, trying to make me think that God doesn't really love me, trying to make me think that God really ain't gonna come through. Miss Martha, tired of feeling like I need to know what's gonna happen next. And just realizing this morning, faith is the ability to believe God and not know. Now, how we gonna know and not know? Cause it's called faith. I know who's gonna do it. I know who's gonna come through. I don't know what he's gonna do. I don't know how he's gonna do it. I don't know when he's gonna do it. But what I do know is my mind is organized and prioritized for the kingdom, and my God always comes through. I don't need to know what. I just need to know who. Y'all remember what people used to tell you when you're trying to get ahead in life? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Ain't it the truth? Is it? Come on, who you know? Who do you know? I am the door. Who is your door opener? Who is your door closer? Lord have mercy, Jesus. Somebody scream, no more guilt. No more shame. Mess y'all up. No more presidents. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ain't he? I am not going to sit here and act like I hadn't, like, subconsciously thought that, you know. I just didn't think about it. I ain't going to stand here. I'm going to be so transparent. How do we prioritize and organize our thought for kingdom? Let me tell you how. It's a head job. But not only is it a head job, it's about knowing who is on your team. Somebody say, who's on my team? We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Y'all know some witnesses. Y'all can call them out. I can call some right here. Miss Essie, Brother Jay, Miss Martha, Miss Loretta, Jerry, Lawrence, Mildred, Brandon, Jarrell, Soraya, Chris, Deneen, Miss Veda, and welcome, baby, my sister. Who's on your team? These are the ones that we can see and can call. Oh, but what about the ones that's holding the horns of the altar for us and we cannot see them? Oh, Helen Beta said, I had a praying grandmother. I had a praying grandmother. How many of you know if it wasn't for the Lord on your side and that great crowd of witnesses? I said crowd. It is a crowd of them. A crowd that forms a cloud who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. Stripping off of every weight. Come on, do this. Strip it off. Get rid of that cross. Strip it off. Whatever it is, if anything Just dash some blood on it. I don't care. I'm not there anymore. I can't even fit them shoes or that dress anymore. And I'm going to sit here and trip over a cross that's behind me. Come on, people. Strip off every unnecessary weight that so easily and cleverly, somebody say, entangle. I can't say that word without saying, thinking about peoples, but entanglements. Jesus don't deal with entanglements, does he? Entanglements. That's what helps us to run and we can persist. That's what helps our mind to be organized and prioritized. So what if we had never really thought about a kingdom? Now we can start. We can start looking away from all of the distractions, focusing on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith. And when we start, and when our humanity want to try to start bullying us, that's when we remember. Consider the bitter, dark nastiness that Jesus endured for us. And we can say, God is our fortress and our strength. His blood, his suffering made our way perfect. Come on, kingdoms, say, come on, kingdoms, kids. Say, his blood makes my way and makes me perfect. Because that's who we are. How are we going to be king's kid and we acting like jokers, jesters? Come on. If we don't know, we don't know. But somebody stand on your feet with me this morning. Say, I'm a king's kid. And I'm going to do like my elder brother did. And I'm going to remind myself of who I am. No longer am I allowing my humanity to bully my spirituality into thinking I'm not who God says. I never thought about that. Think about all of the names of Jesus. What you call him? Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Rose of Sharon. What you call him? King of kings, Lord of lords. What do you call him? Adonai, El Shaddai, all the names, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi, my banner, my healer, my peace. What is his name? Well, that's your name too. Because what is true of God, my sisters and brothers, is true of us. Lord, have mercy. Somebody lift your hands this morning. Ooh, how many know we blessed? Y'all, we are so blessed. And we might not have ever thought about, I'll put it like this. I may have never thought about having the mind of a kingdom child like this. But boy, when you start organizing, prioritizing, the Holy Spirit will reveal those mysteries. They will absolutely help us to see, know, and understand exactly who we are. We are children of the Most High God. Come on, repeat after me. I am a child of the Most High God. Every now and then I sin, but I ain't no sinner. Anybody who learning, anybody who's trying to find their way, anybody who is living a life with a confusing understanding is going to make a mistake. And we are not identified by our mistakes / our sins. We are God's children, and it's time for us to identify. It's time for us to know who we are and not allow tradition, religion, and doctrine to bully us into believing we are somebody who Jesus never said we are. Somebody say, I'm God's child. A price was paid for me, and I'm ready to organize and prioritize how I think about me based on his sacrifice. Glory to God. Woo. Jesus, this morning we come to you. We thank you that you are our fortress and our strength. We thank you that we are blessed because in you, you said, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and you will exalt us. We are exalted in you because we exalt you first. You are exalted. And so, Lord, we thank you for organizing and prioritizing our minds for your kingdom, not this world. Help us to hold on to your hand. Help us to remember it doesn't make any difference what our problems are. It doesn't matter whether our times are filled with swift transitions, transgressions, or transations. Help us to build our hope on things eternal. And those things which are eternal is your kingdom and our identity in your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so we say, we thank you, Father. We give you all honor, all glory. And we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And amen. Receive this benediction. May we leave this place organizing and prioritizing our hearts and our minds for the kingdom of God, knowing that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses and Jesus Christ himself, who endured the cross, so that we may remain strong in heart, strong in him, for his name's sake and for his glory.